2017 Action Meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. First, let me welcome everybody back from yesterday. Thanks again, Mr. Williams, for a nice evening and dinner. We'll have to remember to bring more cigars next time, but other than that, I think it went was all to schedule. The first, I do have a few things that I want to talk about that probably we should have covered yesterday, but what I'll do that is after we get through the action items and under new business, just bring them back up for a couple, just for the board's awareness. Okay, with that being said, the first topic on our agenda is for public comment. Is there anyone here today that would like to make a comment to the Commonwealth Transportation Board? Oh my gracious, I think this is maybe the first time. No, Ms. Brown, you're going to call it regular. You don't get to do it now, Ms. Brown.
You might have something to say to us.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I do have one action item for you.
Hold on. We're not in the action items there yet, Ms. Brown. We're just on public comment.
No. What time is it?
So, all right. Well, seeing there are no public comment other than employees, we'll now move on to the next item on the agenda. That is the approval of the minutes from the February 16, 2017 meeting. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any comment or discussion on the minutes? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now, Ms. Brown, you can come up. I know we were anxious to, you can't have a meeting without you presenting. So. Good to see you this morning.
Thank you. You too. And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have one item for you. This is a revenue sharing transfer. This request was submitted by Stafford County in the Fredericksburg District. This request is for the county to reallocate funds for a project that is currently being temporarily deferred. The general project was established in fiscal year 2015, but it's had a significant estimate increase. From the time they made their initial application, the estimate has gone up from $3 million to $10 million. They are currently identifying other sources of funding. Stafford County did submit a smart scale application for the donor project this year, and they have also provided a statement to us acknowledging that they are aware that the funds they are transferring away from this project would not be eligible for future revenue sharing funds to backfill this amount. The funds they are transferring is to a project that has been in their county's six-year plan since 2009. It's an existing unpaved road project that was established with an estimate of $150,000 in 2009. Since that initial estimate, the county has made a decision to build a new school along that roadway, and as a result, the improvements needed to address the traffic have significantly changed the cost estimate of that roadway. That unpaved road project now has an estimate of $2.2 million to accommodate the traffic, including turn lanes, to accommodate the school. This transfer would allow the unpaved road project to be completed prior to the construction of the new school, which is estimated to open in 2018. We request your approval of this request.
Connors.
I move to approve. This is supported by the Stafford Board of Supervisors in our district office, so I move to approve.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion for approval and a second. Is there any comments or discussion? Mr. Fralin.
Mr. Chairman, I just want, I don't have any problem with this, but at some point on the revenue sharing committee, you know, this involves, you know, we allocate money to a project and then instead of going back into the state pot, if it doesn't take place, they just transfer it within. Right. So that's the policy right now. I just wonder, so I'm not going to fuss about this one, but where are we on getting that fixed?
Mr. Dixon has agreed to chair this committee and here's the report back. I think we, Mr. Whitworth, oh, I see that. I have got a daggone mental block about that. So, Dixon Whitworth is. Well, he's only been on here about 2 years.
Chairman, I did ask Mr. Whitworth why his mama gave him two last
night. Yeah. So, Mr. Whitworth, you want to update where we are on that?
That entire subject of transfers is
is on our agenda and will be addressed at our next meeting.
Okay.
This is the subcommittee, and obviously we've had a lot of discussion about this. So any other comments or discussion on this particular transfer? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Ms. Brown, thank you very much. Ms. Pryor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have two items for your consideration today. The first is the amendment of three projects to the six-year program. All three projects are in Smithfield, and they're funded with urban formula funding. We recommend your approval.
Mr. Baldwin. And there's a second. Any comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Ms. Pryor.
All right, the next item is just our routine monthly transfers, and I recommend your approval.
Motion, is there a second?
Okay.
Comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Ms. Pryor, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. How are you doing?
Colin, how are you?
Good, thank you. So we present for your consideration an amendment to the locally owned bridge list, which was approved for state of go repair funds at the board meeting in February. The request to amend the list would add three additional structures. Those structures are in Salem, Stanton, and Lynchburg. So we are requesting the board's approval for this.
Mr. Worth.
So approved. No, so.
Go ahead. We were out. Is there a second?
A second, whatever that was.
I think this is something, state of good repair, I think is something we need to get more, when I say publicity, more out to the public what we're doing here. You all saw this week the annual report by the, I forget which engineering firms,
American Society of Civil Engineers,
where they ranked our infrastructure, again, I think it was a D plus for the state, for the nation. We were, I think, a C minus overall, but our roads were a D. I would point out that is the, those numbers that they used for us were 2015 numbers.
And a lot of what's driven in that is congestion also. It's not just, it's not just condition.
Right. But we are one of the few states, I believe, that have taken action through the state of good repair, and over $1 billion had allocated to the state of good repair on these projects and bridges. And I think we need to make sure when we're talking to our districts, and particularly a lot of the constituents, they need to understand that that's almost half of the money they get each year. Instead of just looking solely at what they're getting for new projects, it's very important, and I think that needs to be pointed out. So we're going to make a better attempt here when we talk about monies going to districts, including state of good repair, because that was a conscious decision to take 45%, that's a large amount of our construction dollars, to place there. I think it was the right thing to do. Virginia is one of the few states that's identified that. But I would point out two things. One, when they went through this, it's going to be about a decade before we even start bending the curve the other way, or stabilizing, I think this is the right word. And if we had, we need about $12 billion today to get, right now, to get it back up to speed. So if you think about it, we're putting, put a billion, I mean, about 10 years, that's about bending the curve back up. So it's getting a lot of talk from the national level because the new President Trump has talked about infrastructure. And that's what my concern has been, that public-private partnerships are not going to fix the state of good repair, or very small part, unless we're going to toll every bridge in the Commonwealth, which doesn't make any sense to do in that. So I just want the board to understand the state of good repair is a big deal. I think it's shows that we are using our monies wisely, but there's a cost, and I wish we could have these monies to fund new construction and new expansion, but we simply can't ignore what we have. I think I was looking at in the last 25, 30 years, in addition to our current network, it's grown by about 14 or 15%. So we keep adding, and if we don't acknowledge this, and I think Virginia has, we've acknowledged this and said we got to deal with it. So Mr. Kilpatrick.
If I could, regarding this, again, this was an opportunity to, using some existing funding, to apply to get these additional three projects. The chief engineer and his team have, I don't know if fanatical is the right word, maybe it is the right word, about trying to find ways to extend our dollars and looking for every opportunity to reduce the number and the percent of deficient bridges and pavement. Whatever amount of money is left over from this winter, our focus is going to be to deliver additional state of good repair type projects. It's maintenance funding, so it doesn't flow through the state of good repair formula, but fundamentally it's the same thing. We're putting money towards either deficient bridges or bridges that will become deficient if we don't take action on them. There's really two parts to that. So we're putting a lot of emphasis on that. Chief Engineer has really been working on making sure we have I'll call it a backlog of ready projects to apply funds, whatever, if there's a change in our revenue forecast in the positive way or wherever we may be able to find them, because we see some real opportunities with investment in these that we want to be in the top 10 in terms of states that have in terms of the smallest percentage of deficient structures. Honestly, we want to be number one, and that'll be a tough task with some of the other states and other programs. But again, we can make some real progress here. And this is just a small example today of the intense focus we have on our bridge and pavement condition.
So to wrap this up, the message that we're sending to our federal partners and the new administration is that certainly, and I used to play sports, we'd like to score touchdowns with these big public-private partnerships. What we need money for is blocking and tackling. That's what we need it for, to get our infrastructure up to speed. So it's going to have to require additional monies besides private investment that's going to fix the state of good repair. Not that we wouldn't take the other money, and I think we're probably one of the few states that know how to use that in public-private partnerships. The other thing I'd point out, they've said, I've seen comments where the president has said, we want to make something we can get money supplied to in 90 days. Well, VDOT, we've got deficient bridges and things that we can put it to in 90 days. So if you find that money, we're all hands are wide open to take it, to put it to good use. So I just thought I'd bring that to the board's attention, because it's getting a lot of a media report. And we are doing something about it. It's not, we don't have what we need, but we're doing something about it in Virginia. Yes, Mr. Brown.
Raise the issue of expanding infrastructure and the cost of maintenance. At some point I'd heard there's a rule of thumb or a ratio of how much money should be reserved for maintenance when you expand or you add a dollar of additional infrastructure. Is that, can you
that those that? Days have long gone about that in terms of, yeah, I mean, Mr. Kilpatrick would love to set a reserve up because we know it wears out. I see the chief engineer of setting a reserve up. For instance, I'll tell you, the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, there is no reserve there. That thing is 60 some years old. There's no reserve. So you're right, if we were in
my question is, what should it be? What is the formula?
I'm not sure there
is.
I don't know if there's a rule. I've not heard of a rule of thumb that for every dollar of new pavement or new bridge that you put in, how much should you set aside in a sinking fund? But let us follow up with that. There's probably some statistics out there.
So I can give you a couple of examples. Mr. Malbin serves on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. And they are on the replacement method for that tunnel. In other words, we don't have the luxury to do that. So they have a reserve because they come in and an engineer comes in every, I think it's 3 years, and says, here's what's got to be done to maintain the current status of this facility, and they set aside those funds. It's required by the bond documents. So, so it's probably, I'm sure a tunnel's going to require more. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I would guess a tunnel's going to require more in that environment than maybe a road somewhere else, but that would be an engineering. But if you guys, one of my favorite books, and I've asked you all to take a look at it, is The Big Roads that we talked about at our last meeting or the last governor's conference. When in the 50s they were building the highway system, you recall the successor to ASHTO, the group that Charlie's were a member of, they said that an expenditure equal to the amount of construction that they were spending each year was going to be required in the future to maintain it. Yeah, and that was where that's, you probably saw it in there. So I wish we had that luxury. We do not, but I do think we're using what funds we do to put in that regard. You didn't realize we're going to have this philosophical discussion, Ms. Allen, but
it's fine, sir.
Got stuck up there.
Fine.
Just wanted to bring that out because I think it is extremely important. It's in the news, and I want you guys to be informed. You may be contacted. We need public dollars. Has got to be a part of this answer. We can't do it all with private dollars. Now, unless there's any more comments or discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Brule.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Item 5 is a resolution for the addition of three projects to the 6-year improvement program. The first two projects are for the Greater Richmond Transit Company, and they're related to the implementation of the Pulse BRT project. The first one being some funding to GRTC to help in a realignment of their routes to help improve efficiency with the Pulse coming online. The second is some funding to support the purchase of land for them to park the new BRT buses that are coming in. Actually, I think the last one is due in next month. So those two are for the City of Richmond. For Greater Richmond Transit Company. Third project is for the City of Alexandria, and it relates to their transitway project, which is a project this board supported the construction of. What this funding will do is support the implementation of three additional station structures in the part of that BRT project that runs with traffic. So it's making improvements to that existing project, which has been very successful. DRPT recommends these projects for your approval.
Is there a second? I don't know if you guys have traveled down Broad Street, but you should. You'll see all the yellow and orange barrels out aligning where it's going to go. It's a pretty exciting project here in Richmond. So, any other comments or discussion?
So, where is this money coming from? From another project, or is it leftover funds transfer? What?
It's leftover funds funding that's deobligated off of other transit capital projects.
So normally, when we do it on the 6-year plan on the road side, they'll tell us where the money's coming from and where the money's going.
We should do that on the transit side and also. Yep.
Out of FY16 transit capital fund dollars, though.
It's sort of like the normal transfers, then they should have published a list to you to show where it's coming from.
I was curious about that. Okay, well, that's fine. I just want to make sure.
You can do that with them.
Yeah, we should do that. I mean, you may not have seen what they should have done is showed you this is the project and where it's good, like the normal 6-year transfers and what we do on the other side.
And if it's discretionary, then we approve it at the local level. But if it's not,
it comes up here. Yes.
So the other question is, where are they parking these buses now?
The buses are just starting to arrive. GRTC's facility,
they had them all but one,
which is on the south side, is landlocked, and the buses that they currently have take up the space they have available. A parcel adjacent to them that's already a paved parking lot has become available, so they're acquiring that space to park the 10 BRT buses.
I understand. So it's three. We're paying $320,000 out of a $1.6
million.
$2 million.
But yeah.
Yeah.
A good deal. But.
We'll make sure it's supposed to be exactly like the other transfers. I assume there was, but we'll make sure that is in there, and that's so. Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you,
Mr. Brewer. All right, Mr. Utterback is up, and he's got a couple things in Hampton Roads, but I want to take a couple minutes, and Mr. Kilpatrick may want to talk about this too, and Jim. Jim's going to talk to you about, one, the contract for putting tolls on the expressway or the reversible lanes in Hampton Roads, and then he's going to talk a little bit about the HRBT early work stuff. This contractor and these tolls are planned to start about the same time as Inside the Beltway. It's the same project we have Inside the Beltway on 66. But this will be the first time that VDOT has done dynamic pricing. We've done other tolling, but dynamic pricing. So Mr. Kilpatrick and I have had lots of talk, and whether it's in the introduction in Hampton Roads, and I want to talk to you in the new business about, there was an article this morning, a big article about ERC and their fees and stuff in the paper. We all know that media relations standpoint and from our constituents and taxpayers down in Hampton Roads, tolling could have been introduced better down there for what we did on that project. We cannot make the same issue. Of course, we that was a concessionaire in charge of that ERC, but we cannot afford to have an introduction down there that's not done right. So even though there's a public schedule out there that says we might be in effect for both inside and outside, or inside the Beltway and these reversible lanes in Hampton Roads, we're not going to institute tolling and the actual billing of customers until I'm absolutely convinced that it's done right. And that would include, obviously, Mr. Kilpatrick's sign-off on that. So that's a long-winded thing to say. I don't expect tolls to start there down there till much later in the year, or in Northern Virginia. In Hampton Roads Point, we'll be introducing a new type of tolling, plus having to have a penetration of Easy Pass. We'll be introducing flex passes down there. Ms. Johnson's in the back. We've got to make sure the success to these roads is a penetration of having them, and we'll talk about some of the ERC stuff in the new business section, but that may take us months. Plus, it's just not getting the trip right, it's also getting the billing right. We may need 3 or 4 months of a month-end statements that we do, pro forma, just to make sure we're not only getting the trips right, but we're getting the billing right. So I'm just alerting you, same way with Inside the Beltway, that's a very, the last thing we want to do is have people not billed correctly on that. So that's a long-winded caveat to say VDOT will be giving more information about the schedule, but I suspect it's going to be later in the year than originally planned. Just pointing that out on that. Mr. Fralin?
Chairman, I was curious because one of the questions when we did Inside the Beltway and Outside the Beltway was who's going to collect the tolls. Operationally, is VDOT going to collect the tolls, or is this part of a subcontract out?
It's part of a subcontract.
I thought VDOT was going to actually do that.
They're going to subcontract this out, didn't Charlie?
We will operate 66 Inside the Beltway, and we will operate the 64 reversible lanes in Hampton Roads. When I say we, what we do is we contracted with someone to build the gantries, the towers, put the cameras on it. Well, one company puts the gantries up, another company puts the readers in, develops the software, and operates the software for us. Okay, so what we will have a contractor, and it is, and
Transcor
is the contractor. It was a bid process, and they were the bidder on 66, and we're requesting authorization for me to sign the contract on 64. So Transcor will work for VDOT, not for a third party. Will work for us and do the collection work. The Easy Pass side of that in Virginia. Virginia is Easy Pass. In Virginia, we are Easy Pass. So all the Easy Pass transactions work through us. John has a contract with the company that does the what we call the back office work. But again, a contractor will be collecting the, they will be working for us. So we are responsible for toll collection.
I just didn't understand. I thought that when we did these, that we had decided that VDOT was going to actually do the work, and that's why it wasn't, didn't make sense to try to do a contract for 66 from Potomac to Gainesville.
It will not be state employees.
State employees. But we'll be controlling the money.
I understand how it's working. I just didn't understand that. That's,
And so this is not a, I want to make clear, this is not a knock on VDOT. But these are long-term commitments, and taking an extra few months or so to get them right and introduce them is well worth it. And so I'm just giving everybody a heads up. And who knows, it might come in and say, you know, but we cannot stumble. And so I'm just giving you a heads up. It's probably going to be later in the year. That these tolling actually take into effect. We're going to have a extended testing period and a penetration period so that we're very convinced that when we start this, because Mr. Phelan here, you know, Charlie explained, they've got to, this is going to be dynamic trips. So you got to make sure the trip's right. You got to make sure that they're reading the right license plate. Remember, we had ERC, couldn't differentiate between an 8 and a B. We got tolling.
No, I understand all that.
So I'm just saying, everybody's excited. I want to get them in, but I'm not going to let that drive, you know, if it takes us 4 or 5 more months to get this right.
I don't have any problem with the delay, Mr. Chairman. What I'm trying to figure out is we decided that VDOT could do this better than the private sector. So I just want to make sure that we
didn't decide that. We decided that we wanted to control the revenues inside the Beltway, and we could pass this on.
I'm talking about in Hampton right now.
That's right, because there wasn't a concessionaire couldn't take the risk because it wasn't there, but VDOT will do this, and through contract we'll get the private sector. The private sector is going to be on their agent.
I understand that.
It was just going to be their employees.
That's exactly right, and I want to make sure that there's a reason why we've evaluated whether or not that we can do that, and maybe we don't have the expertise to do it, or maybe we can't do it as cheap. But that's all I'm asking is that
did evaluate
analysis
that.
Has been evaluated.
I have a limited number of employees that I can have on board. You know, the General Assembly approves through the budget each year the number of employees I can have. We have been able to add a small number of folks in the tolling division to administer this type of work, but for me to actually have VDOT state employees that would do the all of the work regarding toll collection, could we have that expertise in-house? Absolutely. We would need the support of consultants to do some of the technical algorithms and things, but could we do it ourselves? The answer is yes. It comes to balancing having sufficient personnel available to do that versus some other activity, and there is expertise in the world that can do this work for us.
I'm just want to make sure the analysis was done. It's a yes or no. It's not.
Yeah, John, you can start with this.
It's either it was or what. I get it. I think it was.
It was.
I concede the
it's
point.
It's P3 versus toll collection, and we by contract can pass that on to that.
Sure, Commissioner Mr. Fraley. I just want to add to this. Both 66 and 64. It is VDOT's tolling operation. You know, we will be tolling it, but instead of what we have procured, the two TransCore contracts, are the services to install the toll equipment and to build the tolling system, the algorithm. What comes out of TransCore's process once we go into operation is a tolled trip that they will pass to VDOT, to the EasyPass office, which we will then process, you know, the EasyPass transaction as always. We will also use our existing violation enforcement activities to handle any violations. So it's not a build, because it is an a hot facility, there are no video bills. You're either paying through your transponder or you're in essence a violator. And then we already have a violation process in place. We will obviously have to enhance it in terms of capacity, but that process will continue to work as it does today.
Are you saying going to read license plates there?
There'll be plates. There won't be invoices.
When you said cameras, I...
Yeah, no, we're going to read. If you, it's just like the other, if you have a,
I know that system.
Yeah, like, just like the other.
It's just going to be so many, you know, out-of-town travelers on there. That...
By the way, this is exactly what our concessionaires do. They take it, and then they go to these parties to do this. And so we're doing that. So anyway, I just wanted to make it, to let you know that we're very cognizant, and we are not going to rush this. We want to make sure in both areas that we get it right. And so just, you know, bringing that point out here. And VDOT, as we go along, will have a communications program and alert people. I mean, I sort of envision, I haven't talked with Charlie, but I hope we have several months where we're sending people notices saying, hey, you used it during this time. Were you using it during that time? Getting feedback. I mean, I think we can really make this something to give us some good information, but I'm sort of getting ahead of ourselves. But in that regard. Now, Mr. Utterback, since we talked about your whole topic, please present what you want to say.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, just in follow-up, there's two actions that VDOT's recommending, and that is for the CTB to authorize a commissioner to enter into the contract for the tolling system, and then also authorization.
Let's take one at a time.
Okay.
Let's take the first talk about the tolling system. So,
okay.
So any particulars that we haven't talked about, Mr. Utterback, and the tolling system you want to mention?
No, sir. I think at this point it's fairly, you guys have just discussed it. I don't have anything to add to that unless there's any questions.
Okay.
Mr. Lawson said, we did have TransCore. We had one bidder. We did evaluate them against the RFP criteria. They were fully qualified, and we looked at their price as well. It was actually a very competitive price, so we felt comfortable moving with the one bid on the RFP. So
Mr. Maul,
make a motion. We approve.
Is there a second? Any comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now.
Yes, sir. The second action related to that was moving or having CTB allocate or authorize the use of the toll facilities revolving account. So as this board on October 19th, 2016, authorized the use of $5 million of the toll facilities revolving account to... We were asking for another $14 million from that account that takes a total to $19 million, give or take. We've used approximately less than $3 million, so we'll carry about $2 million forward from the five, and that should get us through the procurement installation.
Just to let you know, and Mr. Kilpatrick, you may want to chime in on this too. This is getting using a process similar to what we did on 66, not exactly, you know, because we're going to take a look at it, but it's what VDOT needs to get that process going up to speed. These monies will be repaid out of by the tolls and stuff. So this is, you know, what this is for, but it's getting us to where we can go through a similar process, looking at the different procurements and coming up to this board with, and if we go the P3 route, which, you know, no decision has been made on that. It depends on the traffic and revenues and all that stuff. We'd have to go to the steering committee. So I just letting the board know that's what these monies are being doing. We're going to be briefing people in Hampton Roads on the process, getting requests or information from our vendor. So
and the intent of the toll facilities revolving account is exactly this, to set up and establish these toll facilities. And then the toll revenue repays the toll facilities revolving account. And that's fundamentally what's going on here. We use this account also on 66 inside the Beltway. But again, that's the process of it allows us to use upfront funds to do the capital construction.
So, Mr. Malbin.
I make a motion we approve.
Second.
Any other further comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mr. Utterback, thank you very much. Look forward to, I guess.
I have another item.
Another one, okay.
I have another item. This is related to This is asking, okay. Yeah, I had two items, and the first item had two items. So,
okay, sorry.
So the second item is the, this is for authorization for the commissioner to enter into an agreement with HR TAC for the use of funding for the preliminary work on the HRBT. So, and we have worked, VDOT staff has worked with HR TAC to modify standard agreement to get us going on preliminary work, survey, geotechnical, wetlands work, hazmat, and procurement work. So we've, this is really going to support all of that work. So that's the action.
Mr. Kilpatrick?
So we are HR TAC, again, this is a standard agreement that we've used with HR TAC. They are funding up to $25 million worth of preliminary engineering work. This is to improve the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. We are completing the environmental document. That document we anticipate having a record of decision by early this summer. And what we are doing, working with HR TAC on they are a funding source, moving forward with looking at the procurement opportunities and options. We mentioned that Mr. Malbin, the secretary, myself, Mr. Utterback, chief engineer, and a couple of others will be going to Florida looking at their a recently completed tunnel to, as a comparison of how we may proceed forward with the procurement. We have not determined a procurement method, but we are in working with going out to the industry with looking for opportunities in terms of procurement methods. We have a meeting scheduled
April 3rd,
which is an industry type meeting, which will give an opportunity for engineering companies, construction companies, and the like to come in and hear about the project and begin to ask us questions, which will help us frame the direction of the procurement. That again, we are moving this forward, and this $25 million is for the necessary engineering work, geotech survey, traffic modeling, and the like to continue to move the project forward.
And plus, we'll be also making sure that the funding plan is fine, is solid in terms of any procurement that would be recommended. So, Mr. Malbin.
Make a motion, we approve.
Your second. Second. Any further discussion or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, now we look forward to seeing you Sunday, Mr. Utterback. Mr. Cables, how are you today, sir?
Chairman, members of the board, I have 11 projects for your consideration today, 4 regular jobs and 7 maintenance paving jobs. The first job, I-27, that job is a project to improve safety and mitigate congestion by widening Route 711 from 2 lanes to 4 lanes and to replace a bridge over Bernard's Creek in both Chesterfield and Powhatan counties. We are recommending award to E.J. Wade Construction.
Brown.
Second.
Any comments or discussion? All those in favor of approval, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
Next job is order number L53. This is I-395 bridge work over 4 mile run. This is repairs and deck overlay in the Nova District, Arlington County. We had 2 bidders. We are recommending award to Martin's Construction Company.
Tynes?
Well.
Is there a second? Second. Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor of approval, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Next project is order number L59. This is restoration of pavement along portions of Route 85 northbound and southbound in the Richmond District, Mecklenburg County. Had 3 bidders on this project. We are recommending award to Alan Myers.
Is there a second? Abstain. Mr. Williams abstains.
Chairman, I would abstain.
I was taking bets on how many of y'all would have to abstain. We were in a meeting the other day on this. On that. That's right. So, okay, 2 abstentions. Is there a second? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so 2 abstentions there, please. Okay. Okay.
Next project is order number L60. This is a sister project, if you will, to the previous project. This is Richmond District pavement restoration along portions of I-85 northbound in Dinwiddie County. received 4 bids. We're recommending award to Adams Construction Company.
So moved. Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Next job is order number 114. This is a scheduled job, plant mix in Bristol District, Buchanan County. See it, 2 offers on this project with the low bidder at WL Construction and Paving recommending award.
Move.
Second. Okay. Any comments or discussion? All those in favor of approval, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Question.
Yes. Mr. Whitworth.
Just curious, the estimate on this was a $10.1 million and came in at $6.5 million. Does that give us any kind of a pause to have that much difference?
Makes us happy.
Yeah.
I will tell you that in the Bristol District, and there are parts of the state where it's very difficult to get competition because of the remoteness. And frankly, there are now 2 large-scale paving contractors in the Bristol District, and that is really driving competition, and both are performing well. So again, this is when you get competition, you get good pricing. So this is maintenance funds. So fundamentally what it allows us to do is apply that difference to additional paving work in the Bristol District.
Yeah, we mentioned yesterday too, as the economy approves and different things, we've been monitoring to see how these the bids are going. But and of course, Mr. Kilpatrick pointed out yesterday that under Smart Scale, it's a whole different deal in terms of making sure within and the way he's approaching it. So we are keeping track of it.
Thank you.
Okay, yes.
Next project is order number 717. This is, again, a plant mix job in Culpeper District, Rappahannock County. We have 3 offers on this project. We're recommending award to Superior Paving Corporation.
Moved.
Second.
For discussion or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Next job is order number 928.
Northern Virginia District, Arlington County plant mix job. 2 offers on this job, recommending award to Virginia Paving Company.
Hines.
Moved.
Second. I have to abstain, please.
Abstention? There was a second, I think, over here. What? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Chairman.
Oh, Mr. Kesper. Sorry.
Just a question. So in Northern Virginia, do we just have 2 competitors that would be interested in a project of this size? I notice it's above our expected bid amount.
In Northern Virginia, we would have, there are multiple companies or contractors that would be looking at work. It really is location based and literally how they can get from their plant to the job in question. So when you start looking at plant location, at travel time, temperature based work, That really is one of the driving factors and why in this instance we're not seeing as much competition as we would normally.
The other piece of this is that these paving contractors will realize their limit in terms of how many tons they can place. So what they will do is they will pick some will bid on only certain jobs because frankly they don't want to bid more work than they can take on. And I think that we actually had one of the contractors this year made a decision. Gary, you can explain to what it's called.
This particular contractor and contracts, they bid based on contingency and said we will not do any more than this work because they felt it was the most, I'm assuming, the most they could take on responsibly. So VDOT chose the contract that they didn't get, which actually they left less on the table more on the table, I guess, on the ones they got. It was not to their advantage, the best advantage, the one they didn't get. But that particular contractor said, over this dollar value, we're going to not take any more work. And then it was VDOT's choice which contract that they won they didn't get.
There are 4 or 5 paving contractors in Northern Virginia that come to mind that could have all bid this particular project. But again, some of it has to do with trying to that balance of do I want to go after this job, and if I end up being low on too many of them, then I might get myself in trouble because I've got I'm placing more tons than I have the capability. So I suspect that's what led it to the decision by the others to say, we'll pass on these. We've got more work than we can handle.
Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor? I'm sorry,
Mr.
Brown?
At the end of the discussion, one of the questions I was going to ask, and I was talking to Mr. Carey about this yesterday, is how are we doing on the SWAM component of our bids? I mean, I see that we're now getting multiple bids in all these cases, but are we seeing more SWAM? And again, we can take that after this vote, or?
Let's take this vote, and we'll come to that on this particular. All those in, any other discussion on this particular topic? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now, Mr. Kilpatrick, you want to respond to the?
In response to Mr. Brown's question, there are really actually two components. There is the SWAM, Small Women and Minority-Owned Business Program. That's a state program. And there's a statewide goal of 42%. And VDOT is at, Quentin, what are we approximately? About 30% of the available contracted work. And by the way, we do more, the amount of contracting we do, at least the last statistics I saw, was larger than the next 10 state agencies. So we just have a huge amount of work. The other component is the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, which is a federal program. All federal contracts, and many of, if it's got an F on it, it's a federal contract. I can't tell whether
it does.
This is a NFO, non-federal oversight. So this will have goals for disadvantaged business enterprises. I don't know what the particular goal on this project, but it's about between 11% and 12%. Do I have that correct? That the overall goal, the overall statewide goal for that program. But again, and we have been meeting that goal at statewide level.
So when you finish these contracts, I'll get Ms. Johnson to come up and talk a little bit about, we just had a DBE conference and different things, just to give you a quick update on that when we finish this. Yeah, on that. So next one, or is that?
One more.
Yeah.
No, we have four more.
Four more, okay.
The next project is order number 929. This is Northern Virginia District Plant Mix in Fairfax County. Three offers on this job. We're recommending award to Arthur Construction.
Ms. Hines? Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
This project is order number 933, another Northern Virginia District plant mix in Fairfax County. We had five offers.
Signs? Second. Comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Right. Next project is order number 936, another Northern Virginia District plant mix in Fairfax County. We had three offers on this job, low bid from Virginia Paving Company. We're recommending award.
Chairman, I have to abstain on this.
Second. Is there a second? Mr. Spritz. Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Final project today is order number 937, another Northern Virginia District plant mix in Fairfax County. Five offers on this job, recommending award to Superior Paving Corporation.
Approval.
Second. Second, okay. Any comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Going to be busy in Northern Virginia. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Johnson, why don't you come up for a second and just sort of give an over. I know you were down in, was it Orlando yesterday? And
Tampa,
but I know you can talk about
it. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, board members. I missed you yesterday, but I was in Tampa. I can't help it. It was fun. But the Small Business Initiative, DBE, SWAM, we are recognized as one of the best in the nation. We have a very robust program. Sandra Norman was with me yesterday, and she did a presentation on our DBE program. And Shannon Marshall was with me, and we did a presentation on our toll relief. But we get our best bang for our buck when we do P3 projects. And the 66 project has a 15% 66 outside has a 15% DBE goal and a 27% SWAM goal. So that's a total of 42% off of $2.1 billion. The 95 Express, I think that has like a 29 and an 11%. And the goals vary because you have to look at the capacity and what other business is going on in that general area. But we do a very good job. As a leader. And I am the chairperson of the AASHTO Civil Rights Subcommittee. So I kind of know what all the DOTs are doing, and we are by far above. Now, are we doing the best? Not yet, but we're climbing there. In 2006, when I arrived, we were at 6%. 495 came in at 42%. So we're doing very well with that. So if you have any additional questions, I'd be more than glad to sit down and explain it to you, sir.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess I would just like it maybe at one of our board meetings actually have a presentation on kind of the status of our program and what we're doing, and just so that all the board members can be level set and know. I know this has been a long effort over several administrations, but...
But it cannot occur unless you have the support of top management. And I've always had the support of the secretary and the commissioner, and I must say whether it was the Republican or Democrat. More so with the Democratic administration, but definitely I had
just had to say it.
We're doing good for that. Anyway, we'll have Ms. Johnson. Why don't we next, either next one or one we'll probably have you come at and have a presentation on projects and what we're doing in Santa Fe. Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Williams, you know I can't behave myself.
I know you can. Try to help you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. I had a couple things that I wanted to bring up that I probably should have brought up yesterday. So it's not even that new business. It's just the board to be aware. It really goes back to the discussion we had on WMATA and our transit funding. That's even though it seems to be an issue just there because of the high profile, it's an issue other places. For instance, it was in the media reports this week down at Hampton Roads, HRT had a shortfall of about $5 million. Now, I must point out that the shortfall and how it was communicated to the communities, I think, is a different matter. That's a management or communication issue. Shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody had it been done properly, whether it's the board of HRT, whether it's the president or whoever there, or the executive director. There shouldn't be any surprises from that perspective. I mean, it should have been communication right up front as they went through the year. So I'm not saying who was at fault, but quite frankly, from a management perspective, you shouldn't got to the end of the year and nobody knew they were going to be short. So I want to take that and how it was communicated. I think that is an issue that the board and HRT need to deal with on a separate matter. But the issue of being funded appropriately is just as big an issue in Hampton Roads and in other areas as it is in the metro area of Washington. The complicating factor is in those areas, there's multiple jurisdictions as we've talked about. But the fact is we do not have a dedicated funding source for many of these transit agencies in that, whether it's in Northern Virginia, whether it's in Hampton Roads. So. Just want to point out, we're very cognizant of what's going on, and it is going to be, I believe, the top issue of funding for this board in the next 12 to 18 months, and quite frankly, for the new governor to deal with in terms of transportation, and maybe even one of the biggest issues in terms of just any matter he's got to do. So I wanted to bring that out, that even though it tends to center on Northern Virginia, there are issues other areas, and how this is going to be, and you know what level of service and how this is going to be is going to be have to be dealt with in the relatively short term, the next couple of years, or if not, we've talked about we're going to have the funding cliff. So I wanted to make sure that the board was aware that we're very cognizant of how it impacts, and we've got issues in Roanoke area and other areas of how these systems are funded here in Richmond. And it really gets back to, the benefits and how they're calculated and who pays for them. Heretofore, it's mostly been the service in each area or each locality, or in the state of a case of WMATA, in which jurisdiction is. And that mayor, I would say, quite frankly, would only be by happenstance if that ended up being exactly the way people use it. In fact, I think the big issue is if we're going to have these regional systems, we ought to figure out where the people want to go, whether it crosses jurisdictional lines, and fund them in that respect, because we tend to only fund what's in each area, but then the cities say, well, it doesn't come, and we end up in this cycle of not funding it the way we would look at it if you were looking at how the people would use it. But that's a function of our independent city and here in the state of Virginia. But I don't think transit's going to thrive unless we get through that. And I think that's going to be a big part of this solution here. And where it falls in to our overall transportation strategy. And if you look at most places, it's becoming a bigger part. I'm not suggesting that is the answer, but as communities change, land use and different things, that's becoming a bigger part of that. So I just wanted to bring the conversation to understand that it's just not Northern Virginia we're having to deal with this. And that doesn't mean that it should not be used as an excuse for good management and good communication. And whatever happened in Hampton Roads, that was a problem with this. It should have been no big surprise at the end of the year, all of a sudden the localities think that they got to come up and fund $5 million. And I'm not placing blame on who knew what. I'm just saying it shouldn't happen in that regard. So that's one thing I wanted to bring to your attention. The other thing, and this happens to be in Hampton Roads also, is the contract on the downtown Midtown tunnel and the continuing issue with, I'll call it billing or fees, which continues to be a huge issue down in Hampton Roads. There was an article again this morning where there were some constituents who used it and realized they used it incorrectly, had roughly several thousand dollars in tolls not paid, but four or five times that in fees not paid. I think one was $14,000 and $4,000 of it was toll, the other $10,000 were fees. Now, two things in that. We have worked with the legislature last year, direction this year in the budget to get more on the concessionaires being going through more steps to make sure that they're actually billing correctly and notifying people, to giving them time to react. Also, there's been a big push to get to report what a part of this is fees and what part of it is tolling. We'll be working on that. There's a budget item that makes us go forward, because quite frankly, without that, we are limited to the contract. And the contract was not written, and it's not either here nor there. We just have whatever, as what I pointed out, in these P3s, when we have contracts, that's what governs, is these, and so in that. Now, the only real thing that we have in Hampton Roads is a good business practices, so to speak, although Mr. Kilpatrick's been very aggressive, and I have, in terms of when there's really, and Mr. Lawson's out there, in terms of when there's really technical issues or they aren't billing right, that's one thing. But this sort of falls, this article more falls into the realm of what good business practices are, whether or not they should be working with people. I don't know what authority I have in that, but I've asked, Ms. Johnson and Mr. Kilpatrick and others to say, how far can I push? The state can push in terms of working with. From my previous activities in business, this type of publicity is not good. I'd be doing whatever I could to get it resolved, but I don't run this concessionaire. So I just want to point out, we're looking at it. We fully understand the issues. These individuals had to make tough decisions. They fully are aware they didn't pay the tolls, but it was that or pay their food, or their shelter, what have you. So to address that, Ms. Johnson led an effort the last year. We do have a tolling relief program. down there. We are working on it, but we understand there's still other issues. So I'm just letting the board know. I think that's why we got to be very, very, in the 66, for instance, that's why we asked for their handbook and made it part of the negotiations, because we wanted specific things that we could hold them accountable for in that regard. So I just bring that up to you guys to let you know we're very much aware. Let our constituents know we are, and we will continue to work with the legislature and the companies to try to make the tolling experience the best that it can be. But again, I point out it is a contractual relationship that we have with these individuals. So those are just a couple things I wanted to.
Jared, yes. my observation about what you just described, it seems to me that we should be more proactive when we see an account becoming a $4,000 deficit on tolls becoming $14,000. Maybe we should intervene earlier in the process and try to get.
Well, a couple things. Number one, the laws don't cover up before a certain time, because we put them in. What was it last year, wasn't it, Mr. Donahue? 16. So we got more protections from that point forward. The other is, and Mr. Kilpatrick has been, I think, doing a good job of looking at, and Mr. Lawson and David Caudill, who works for him, looking at the actual getting the billing right and making sure, and they've been holding them accountable to that, in that. This gets into the realm of business practice and, you know, what's good community relations. These are long-term contracts in that regard. We can't use state funds to pay a person's legal fees or other fees. That is, we just don't have that authority to do. So what we've gone is the new law puts the burden on the concessionaires to contact these people multiple times, text or other things before there's actual bill. And in many cases, it limits the $2,250. I believe if these people go to court, they can get these reduced to that. But in this particular case, you got to pay to go to court and different things than that. So I agree with you, but that gets in the realm of some things that we can, proprietary information, what the contract relates, and what is good business practice. I mean, Mr. Kilpatrick's job is not to run ERC, but it is to make sure they're following, the law and the rules, and I think they're doing that. But it's a very gray area for him to call up or me to call up somebody and say, we think you should write this off or do something different. Now, I'm not saying that's what I've asked him to go back. I've asked the contract our attorneys. I'm going to go back and look. How far can I do that? I would think from good practice, this is not good publicity for them. And you would think that would kick in, but that has not, since they've been there, have been the way they've reacted. And this is another 50 years that this has. So I wanted not just the board to know, but the people watching. We're very much aware of what's happening. We're trying to use all the tools we can. And governors use the bully pulpit quite a bit in that. And we would hope that this could get resolved. And I'm not trying to make any excuse for anybody who doesn't pay their bills. I want to make clear, and these, come on, $14,000, four or five times the fees. I mean, particularly when there's a law now, but this happened before that limits them. We've tried to give them every indication. Let's, work with these people and move on in that. I don't have the answer other than prospectively, but this is an issue that, I think it's going to be around for a long time in Hampton Roads. In that, so I just wanted you guys to understand, our community to understand. We get it. We bought the tolls down. We bought them totally out on the MLK, because that would have been totally in one city. And I got to be careful here. But whether or not the law says they have a real option, because then. Northern Virginia, if you're on the hot lanes, you've made a conscious decision to make that. Not so in Hampton Roads, and I'm not going to say legally, but I think many people, from their perspective, when they're making a decision, they don't see it as a real option to drive 12 or 13 or more miles around. And that nothing to do with what the legal aspects are, but you know, I get it. So I think that's one thing we're going to continue to look at and to push. And I've probably gone too far already, but I want my staff is holding the crosses up at me here, but we do understand, and we've got to continue to look at ways to deal with that. I know the governor has been committed to dealing with that. So he will. Mr. Thomas.
What's the difference between, we hear about these problems in the Norfolk area, but we don't hear about similar problems in Northern Virginia. What's the difference?
Well, I think there's two or three things. One is the nature of the tolling. In Hampton Roads, the crossings are fixed tolls. Everybody's tolled. You can't use HOV. You can't get around it. You're tolled. In Northern Virginia, it's hot lanes. You have a conscious decision. You can choose to stay in a free lane, or you can carpool. You can do other things to help alleviate it, the choice. So I think there is a larger choice in Northern Virginia. That's one part. Number two, I think the business practices of the concessionaires. I think we've seen the one in Northern Virginia does put more emphasis on community relations and community, that's a bigger part of their business plan. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, that's what they've chosen. Then I believe the concessionaire in Hampton Roads has done. The other issue that you get into is when you don't have a choice, those at lower income levels are more negatively impacted. And that's why we put the toll relief in. But we are in that regard. So that would be what I have seen the last 3 years and looking at this as to what the differences are. Most of that we can't control.
Or is that proprietary?
Well, right now, proprietary information covers a lot. There's a new budget item that is requiring us to look at in reporting how much of these are their revenue is fee related versus related to the actual tolling. And so that's what we've been directed, and we'll be working with the concessionaires over that because of the budget item. I don't know how much cooperation we'll get, to be honest with you, in that. So I'm comfortable in the cooperation from 66 forward because it's in the contract. You know, we put in there. So and that, but I think Mr. Kilpatrick is using every and I know I am looking at it every way we can. I would say in Northern Virginia we've had much more. The concessionaire much more willing to be a partner with the community. And I'm sure I'm going to get some calls and emails now I'm just trying to, just lay it out for you specifically as I see it.
Mr. Chairman, when we were in Texas and we got to visit the toll facilities there that they put in place, they were very much engaged with the community. Extraordinarily engaged, and they had a warehouse of customer service people that were very proactive. When they saw a problem developing, they were in contact with that customer, and I think the overall experience there is a model that we ought to look at, and apparently they probably looked at it in Northern Virginia, but I know we can do a better job in Hampton Roads.
I'll remind you that on the 66 contract, the winning concessionaire did win the technical review too, and that was a big part of it that Ms. Johnson pointed out. Very pleased with their facilities and how they were approaching that and that. So, yes.
The Ms. contracts with the concessionaires, I mean, it's 50 years long. And so that's what we live by. But this
contract law, yeah.
Contract law. But the legislation that we introduced in 2016 that put a cap on the fees?
Yes.
So the contract was amended to abide by this legislation?
No, we had the agreement of the concessionaires. In that way, it weren't Nick. The concessionaires went along voluntarily. We had to make sure it wasn't a compensation event.
Yeah, the contract was not amended. The contract referenced.
Yes.
You had to get that agreement up front before you could introduce it. Because to me, it seemed to open a door to perhaps how we could look at things retroactively.
You could, but it's only effective from that point forward. I would think, quite frankly, I would look at things
would
that
be a
way.
Very positive.
Positive output.
Yes.
There is no, that was not law before then, and in that regard. And that's so. Anyway, I just wanted you guys to understand it is these tolling things are just not are these concession P3s in light of what's going on at the national level. Another ring, it's not just about getting infrastructure in place. These are financing and business terms that go well beyond getting the infrastructure in place. In fact, the infrastructure is magnificent. I've had, I don't know, Charlie, but getting just positive things from the refurbishment of the tunnel, the new tunnel, the Martin Luther King, the additional access that gives people to go from the around. Very, very positive about the actual use of the infrastructure. Very complicated the project. Not so much on the operation. Where we are getting issues is on the business of operating the facility. So you have to understand when we do these concessions, it's financing, it's construction, and it's running the facility. You know, that's what it is. And we have not been successful on that aspect as the other parts of the contract. So anyway, I just thought it was important for the board to understand, particularly in light of our national discussion and the particular these particular issues there. Anything that the board would like to bring up that we haven't talked about, Matt? Okay, well, our next meeting is in April.
Yes.
And is that here also?
No.
It's not here. It's going to be in the Culpeper.